into the body of Christ. His preconditioned state, so to speak. The present tense verb seemed to kind of indicate Paul speaking of himself and putting himself in the present situation of modern times. I, me, and I. I struggle with this. Myself is having difficulty with this. I war against the flesh and war against sin and knowing that I want to do good. So is Paul then referencing himself previously before? Is he putting himself in present context and saying, I'm struggling with this sin now? Well, here's where scholars sometimes want to differ because they say, this is the great Apostle Paul. Can't call the Apostle Paul a sinner, right? But Paul himself says, even I struggle with sin, sin within me, sin is dwelling in me. And first and foremost, we need to explain this concept as well too. Sin does not dwell in us, because with that we say sin stays there. And with that then we reference in saying the blood of Jesus Christ is not doing its job. But rather what's taking place here is sin is what becomes that stumbling block or what trips us up in our walk with Jesus Christ. But for us to allow sin to dwell there then, going back to what Paul says in verse 9, Paul says, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I died to who I used to be. Paul said sin was revived under the law, but it could not do anything under the old law. So sin isn't something that dwells within us. It's something that becomes present and trips us up. But for sin to dwell in us means Jesus Christ is not there. So Paul describes this idea for the use of personal pronouns certainly is indicative, but also that Christians struggle with the concept of sin as taught elsewhere. Again, looking at Galatians 5 and verse 4. You look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 11 that says we are to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. So we know the presence of sin and evil is always there, tugging at us, trying to make us fall short of God's glory, just as Paul references in Romans 3 and verse 23. And because this can trip us up, Paul said we must be mindful of this fact. But then the other side of this dilemma is it Paul as a Jew previously, before he becomes a Christian? Paul still remains a Jew after the fact. He's also a Hebrew, but he's also a Roman citizen. He's also considered a Pharisee, one of the strictest sects of the law. So with that, Paul has all of these different hats to which he wears. But is this Paul struggling with the idea of what it meant when he was a Jew under the old law? Remember, Paul had lived in all good conscience before everyone, even as a Jew under the old law, Acts 23 and verse 1. And because he struggled with this concept, a lot of people think, well, this was perhaps why he was living under the law of Moses. I think this is Paul as a Jew with everybody's and every human's problem, and that we all struggle with what sin is. And I think what Paul is struggling with here is this concept of trying to explain to individuals who were still tugging at the old law, there was nothing that it could do for them. Because with that, they knew, and Paul definitely understood, and how he wrote in many of his letters with the context of what sin was, Paul said there's nothing under the old law that will take away the guilt of what sin does to you. So I think this is Paul writing in a historical pretext and saying, look, I know what you're going through as a Jew under the old law. So let me put myself in your shoes. And let me help you understand better how I know what you're struggling with. Because if you look at what Paul's already written, determined by the context here, the textual dilemma which described by Paul, and then also the determined in the context, you consider again the overall context of the book of Romans. That is, looking at Romans 3, verses 28 through 30, is justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said the only way you're going to be justified and saved from your sins is to be in Christ. The old law couldn't do that. But Paul said the great thing about the old law was that it brought about this conscience or this idea of what sin was. And it did a great job of bringing us to Christ, but that's where it stops. So if you go back to the beginning of Romans chapter 7, Paul is going to give this discourse to say, look, let me explain to you why you're no longer under the old law, just like being married. You see, just as a woman is married to a husband, when the husband dies, she's no longer married to that man. Therefore, she's free to remarry, so she's not attached to the old law. Paul said, when you become a Christian, you die to the old law, therefore freeing you to be bonded to Jesus Christ now under the new law. But Paul said, I know with that concept, because you struggle with it, Paul said, sometimes you feel as if you're entangled in sin, warring within yourself, wanting to be obedient to the old law, at the same time not knowing what to do with the new law. So you see, Paul determines and describes this as he's one that knows what this means to struggle with this same idea. And he determines this by the context of how he's writing it. But now let's focus for the last few moments on the human dilemma. Because really, that's where the rubber meets the road for all of us. In understanding the concept of the human dilemma as described by a man, Paul says in verses 14, 15, who is carnal and who is sold under sin. That is, he desires to do good, but he finds himself unable. That is, sometimes individuals get so caught up in sin and wanting what they want, they don't know whether or not to do good. And who agrees the law is good, but finds that sin dwells in him? Paul said that sin that trips you up. And with that, Paul says sometimes because that sin will trip us up, it keeps us from doing that which is right. So Paul said in his flesh, nothing good dwells. And what Paul is saying, my soul has been saved concerning salvation, but the body is still carnal, sold under sin or dwelling, or the concept of being tripped up by sin, because the flesh is carnal, guess what? Paul also says the flesh is weak. And because the flesh is weak, that is, we can still make mistakes. Who is enslaved to a law or who is enslaved to sin? Where is evil present in one who desires to do good? You see, where law is in his members, the flesh wages war against the law of his mind. Where the law is in his members brings him into captivity to the law of sin. So Paul said, what I understand is he's going through these things which seem to kind of make us baffled in our mind to what Paul is saying here. What he's saying is if you're not justified in verse 24, you're considered wretched under the law. So guess what? Paul says, the old law does nothing for you. So you know the old law in being tripped up and saying, this is what I've always known to do. This is the way that I've always done things. And so the Jew is warring in his mind against himself saying, I know I need to follow this new way, but under this old way, I don't know where I need to go from here. I've studied with individuals that are coming out of a particular denomination that get caught up in that same idea. This is what I've always known. This is what mom and dad have always taught me. This is what I was raised on. This is what I know to be as right. But now this new way you're telling me is what justifies me and puts me into Christ. And I've never heard about this concept of baptism. And I've had people say, Larry, it seems like it's right, and I know that's what I need to do, but I'm warring within myself of doing what I've always been told that I need to do. So now you're wanting me to let go of that which I've always known, to do that which I know is probably right, so the war within one begins to break down and they struggle with the concept of what they need to do when they know what is right. So Paul said, look, I've struggled with this same concept when I was under the law. Because as he stood before the council in Acts 23, he said, I have lived in all good conscience before you, and what I have done in the past I thought was right, but once I became a Christian, I understood it to be wrong. I think perhaps we've all been there, but we understand no longer being enslaved by sin, but empowered by the Spirit. Paul vividly is illustrating the weakness of the law of Moses. Because with that, it brought a recognition of how horrible sin was and the wretchedness of sin. But at the same time, it couldn't tell you what to do with that sin. Can you imagine that concept in and of itself? I want you to understand how bad your sin is. And I want you to understand how bad you are as a person based upon your sin that you continue to do. But guess what? You can do nothing about your wretchedness of being in sin. So you're going to carry it every day of your life until you're justified. But brethren, isn't that what an individual does that's outside the law of Christ? They continue to carry that sin and being wretched, not justified by the law of Christ. They are in that sin, living that sin, carrying that sin. Paul said, and within you is the war of knowing that you need to take care of that sin, but you don't do anything about it. One can will to do good, but the ability to truly do as one should isn't there. And that comes for a true love of who Jesus Christ is and knowing what one should do. And I've had people tell me time and time again as I sit down and open the book with them, Larry, I know what I need to do. I know I need to obey the gospel, but I just can't do it. Within me is telling me there's too much that I have to give up for what you want me to do. There's too much in my past that I don't want to let go. There's too much in the world that's keeping me holding on, so I'm fighting this war within myself, but I just can't take that final step that you want me to take and to put on Christ in baptism. And so there's this internal tug of war that continues to take place within the person. And it tears them apart. But Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Paul said the flesh will always be weak, but it's the mind that continues to stir and knowing what it must do to defeat the power of what sin does. Because God says there are all those things that will trip us up concerning sin, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, all these things. And those are ever present and always there. And Paul said, man will continue to struggle with these things. Why? Because the devil is like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. James says the temptation is always there. When you are tempted, and you will be, don't point the finger at God and say it was His fault. But because the flesh is weak, knowing that one must have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2 and verse 5, in that, knowing how Christ thinks helps me to overcome the sin of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. So that which wars in me because the flesh is weak, the mind must be strong in Christ and knowing what I must do to overcome the sin that I struggle with. And guess what? Everybody in this room struggles with something. Your struggle might not be my struggle and vice versa. Your struggle to me might be nothing for which I can deem or consider it to be a struggle, but to you, it might be something that weighs and pulls you down every single day. And so within that, you war within yourself, knowing that you should do something about it, but you continue to fight against the concept. But the mind says you know what you need to do, and you still don't do it. We've heard the old adage or the old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I know I need to do it, but I really don't want to. I know I need to fix it, but just not right now. I know I need to get my life right, but I'm just not ready to make that commitment. So there's that struggle. Or the person that stands up for the invitation songs and grips the back of the pew, knowing they need to walk forward, but won't let go because their body is warring against their mind, knowing they need to get their right life with God. And so they white knuckle and hold on for dear life. And hopefully the song will be over soon. But it's the mind that needs to control the body to say, you've got to let go and fix it. And only you can do that. But that is, we have to have the willpower and knowing what God is telling us to do that's right. So as being described as a man, Paul said, I know what you're going through. And the only way that we can be delivered is by Jesus Christ. And it's explained in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. And there's no condemnation, Paul says, to those that are in Christ. So the old law is not going to do anything for you, but I can tell you what's going to fix it. You've got to be in Jesus Christ. You've got to be in His body and part of His church. And through that, you're going to be delivered. Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ who do not walk according to what? The flesh, but according to the Spirit. So again, Paul referencing back to the idea of what it means to be weak in the flesh, knowing how it can make one struggle. Paul said, don't walk according to that person, but walk according to being in the Spirit. Christ's death fulfills the righteousness requirement, that is, death for sin. The law was holy, it was just, and it's good. But the problem was, Paul said, it did not offer deliverance from my past and my sins. And Paul says, I know what that struggle is. In Romans 8, Paul provides this idea of what it means to be delivered from the dilemma of struggling with who he used to be and who individuals used to be in their past, but no longer have to be that person now. So sometimes as you read through Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, you say, Paul, what in the world are you talking about? And a lot of confusion going on there. It's very confusing to be caught up in sin, knowing what you must do to do right and not do it. So Paul said, with that, the war becomes a mind because you're struggling within yourself, knowing you need to fix it, but you won't do it. I know I need to get this right. And perhaps that's what you're thinking tonight. And maybe you'll grab the back of that pew in just a few moments as we stand to sing the invitation song. And maybe you won't let go. And your mind is telling you to let go and take that walk. But you say that means, Larry, I've got to change a lot of things. I've got to fix a lot of things in my life. That's the first step. But you're no longer going to be conflicted on what's right and what's wrong. So tonight, as we stand and you need to let go of the back of the pew, let us pray for you tonight. Let us encourage you and let us help you, but God will forgive you. And tonight, if you're one who is not in the body of Christ, you stand not justified before God this day. But Paul says you can be justified just if you had never sinned, if you're willing to accept it on the terms and conditions of what God has told you to do. And with that, Paul said, don't fight yourself anymore. Don't fight God. Let it go. Let God handle it. And let God save you tonight. If you're ready to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God this day, this moment, that He's the one who saved you at Calvary, that He's your Savior. Jesus said, I'll be more than willing to express and to confess you before my Father, Matthew 10:32. And if you're willing to put Him on in baptism tonight, to have your sins washed away, 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 22:16, Acts 2:38, Romans 6:3-4, those that put us into Christ, where we're now justified just as if we had never sinned, then you stand before God justified on the day of judgment. But here's the thing I want to express before we sing this invitation song. It does not mean that you're no longer going to struggle with sin, because the fight is ever present. The war is always there. And the devil's always looking. So if you need help tonight, please come as together we stand and as we sing.
Oh, Jesus, I...